Good morning. Good to be with you, my true Arizonans, who didn't decide to escape the heat, but stayed right in the middle of it this 4th of July weekend. I am glad you're here. We're in it together. We are in it together. Just a quick shout out to our tech team this morning. We've thrown a lot of new gadgets and technical stuff at them in the last couple of weeks. And I don't know if you've noticed, but things have gone without a hitch. And so thank you, tech team. You guys are amazing. You make us sound and look so good. I grew up in Minnesota. Some of you know that. And when I grew up in Minnesota, my daughter actually is in Minnesota right now visiting family. Hi, Sayla. I think she's watching online. Can I do that? I don't know. So anyway, I grew up in Minnesota. And where I grew up, we had this big backyard. And part of it was an enormous garden. And I want you to think of like what a garden looks like, and then I want you to triple that in size. That was like the size of our garden. And every spring, I can distinctly remember my dad going out to the garden, and he would till it, and he would hoe it, and then we would plant what would eventually be this bountiful harvest. Now, by June and July, we became overwhelmed with onions and peas and green beans and zucchini that were like this long. I don't know why they got so big. They were massive, and raspberries that you couldn't even keep up with. It was amazing to have, and we would have more tomatoes than we would know what to do with. We would just give them away to people in hopes they would take them. And yet, here's the truth. In spite of my upbringing around this beautiful garden, I have since realized that my gardening skills are quite poor. My wife and I have attempted to start a small garden. We did so when we were living in Las Vegas. And as I recall it, it went badly. Everything died, and we got maybe 2 cherry tomatoes out of what amounted to hundreds of dollars of gardening tools and soil and et cetera. Now, I'm not even sure, thinking back, what went wrong? I'm so ignorant to gardening. I don't even know what we did wrong. And I've thought about doing it again. But the truth is, I don't know what to plant. I don't know when to plant it. And I don't know how to care for it. It's just not my gift. And well, I don't have the energy to learn. So I know that some of you love gardening, and you're going to come up to me after service and you're going to be like, I don't even want to learn at this point. I am fully content to allow Fry's, Costco, and Trader Joe's to do all of my gardening for me. It's totally, anybody with me on that? You okay with them doing it for you? I'm okay with that. I have come to some conclusions about what maybe the problem is for me. I think a part of the problem for me is that gardening seems to require an incredible amount of patience and persistence, neither of which I'm very, interested in exercising when I can just drive to the grocery store and pick up some grapes. I don't want to have to exercise patience and persistence in something that I can find results in immediately. I mean, you have to care for the soil and plant at just the right time. You have to fertilize and water carefully and properly. You have to make sure some items are in the shade, some are sometimes in the sun, some are always in the sun. That just makes my brain hurt to think about having to organize your plants in that manner. You have to prune certain plants to promote healthy growth. You have to make sure animals and insects don't destroy the plants as they grow. That just seems like the list is endless and tedious and requires way too much patience and persistence on my part of something that I could drive down the street and pick up the very same thing I'm trying to grow. That being said, while I would much rather grab my tomatoes from the bins at the grocery store, there is nothing like fresh vegetables or fruit out of a well-cared-for garden. And if you have not tried it before, you really should. It's sort of like a pool, right? It's not great to have a pool. They're expensive, they require a lot of maintenance, but it is great to know someone who has a pool. The same thing is true of gardening. For me, it's not great to garden, but it is great to know someone who knows how to garden, because there is nothing like a freshly grown tomato or onion or green bean or corn of cob. Corn of cob? I don't know how to say that. The sweetness of the tomatoes, the crisp bite of a green bean, the fresh taste of corn on the cob, the tartness of a raspberry, they are second to none when grown out of a well-cared-for garden. But it does take a true gardener to produce that kind of harvest, one that actually has the patience and the persistence to care for the plants with incredible purpose and intentionality. Only that kind of gardener will enable the plants to produce the kind of fruit and vegetables that are delicious and nutritious. Now, believe it or not, we actually have more in common with plants than you might think. Because like plants, our lives produce a harvest of fruit. Who we are and how we live is producing some kind of fruit. Only our fruit isn't something edible. The fruit we produce instead form our character and who we are. And so the question becomes for us, what fruit are we producing, and how might we produce fruit with our lives that, like a great garden that is well cared for, is sweet and delicious and not unripened and tasteless? Well, as DJ mentioned, we are starting a new series today called Quotable. And during the next 4 weeks, we're going to be taking a close look at four of Jesus' most famous statements in the Bible and how they relate to our lives. And this morning, we're going to be starting in John chapter 15. So if you haven't done so yet, you can open up your phone in the YouVersion Bible app, totally free resource. Go to More and Events. You can follow along with all that I'm going to cover this morning. And as you do that, and we're going to find out in John chapter 15, Jesus is spending his final moments with his very first followers in the first century. By John chapter 18, Jesus will be headed towards the cross for his crucifixion. And so in the chapters 15, 16, and 17, it's like Jesus is trying to get everything out that he can to try and teach his first followers everything that he deems are the most important things that they need to know, because he's going to die and he's going to resurrect and he's going to ascend to heaven, and then they're going to be left with the task of continuing this movement of carrying the gospel, the good news that he started, into the world. And so he's trying to tell them as many things as he can so that they're prepared for what is to come next. And in John chapter 15, he opens with these words: "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me, my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings great glory to my Father." Now, first off, it's important to note that the imagery and the metaphor that Jesus uses here would have been very well received in the first century. The Roman Empire at the time was known for its ingenuity, its innovation, but still the primary industry throughout the empire was agriculture. The vast majority of people living in the Roman Empire in the first century, especially in and around first century Israel and Palestine, they would have had some connection to the world of agriculture, whether they were trading it, growing it, harvesting it, a merchant of it. it was still the primary import and export throughout the world. So as Jesus is talking to his first followers, he leverages the population's knowledge about agriculture to help them connect the dots between who they are and this new relationship they have with God through Jesus. And he starts by saying that he is the vine and God is the gardener. These are two very important distinctions in understanding this world, our place in it, and who God really is. He is saying God is the creator of life, and I, Jesus, am the sustainer of life. In Genesis chapter 1, we learn that God created heaven and earth and everything in it. And in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says that it's Jesus that holds everything and sustains everything in this world. Now notice, there is no mention of us yet. Here's why. You are not the vine, and you are not the gardener. As much as you may want to think you are at times, you are not the sustainer of life, nor are you the giver of life. You are not the vine. You are not the gardener. You should go home today and repeat that mantra. I am not the vine. I am not the gardener. If you start there, if you get that, you can begin to produce fruit in your life. Because Jesus says, you're not the vine. You're not the gardener. You're a branch. You can go home and repeat that. I'm a branch. Everybody say that. I'm a branch. Come on, we can do better than that. I'm a branch. Yeah, right? We're just a bunch of branches. And really, in and of ourselves, we can't sustain any of this. In fact, I would invite you. I'm serious. I would invite you. Go home. Write, I am a branch, on a post-it note or something. Stick it on your bathroom mirror. Put it in your car. Just as a reminder that you are not the gardener. You are not the vine. You are a branch. And whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in God or Jesus or any of that, whether you believe it or not, you are dependent on the gardener and the vine for all of life. It's the only way we breathe and have breath and live in this world. So go home, write it down. Because bearing sweet and delicious fruit with your life begins with an understanding that you are not the vine, you are not the gardener, you are a branch. It begins by recognizing that all of life is a gift given to you by God. And because God is a good gardener who wants to see all of his branches produce high quality fruit, he will do whatever is necessary to make sure that the branches on the vine remain healthy and sustainable. He will make sure to prune the vine. Some of you are going through a pruning phase right now. God is in the process of removing some things in your life. And it can be painful, but necessary. He'll make sure to discard any branches that have died or have stopped producing fruit entirely to enable healthy branches to thrive on the vine. On Friday, when it was really hot, although it was in the morning, I went outside and I trimmed up a few trees in my backyard because they were driving me crazy. And one of them in particular, on the bottom of it, just had a bunch of dead branches. And so I had, I'd go through and I'd clip them all off. And I got done. And I mean, not only was it pleasing to the eye, but it allows the nutrients and the sap and the water and everything that a tree needs to flow more efficiently to the healthy branches on the tree. God will do the same thing for us. He will prune us and shape us, not only so that we are pleasing to the world and to his glory, but also so that we experience healthy fruit in our lives. And so to the branches of this incredibly intricate, thriving vine that God is gardening, Jesus gives one instruction. And the one thing that Jesus says to the branches, which is us. I just want to make sure we're on track here, okay? The one thing he says to the branches is remain. Remain. Now, in John chapter 15, verse 4, he says these words. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you, what's the word?
Remain.
Remain in me. There may be no simpler instruction in all of Scripture. Jesus just says, listen, God's the gardener, I'm the vine, you're the branch, here's what I want you to do, stay, right? Like I have a dog and he does not like to stay. And Jesus knows we do not like to stay. We don't. We like to run. We like to look elsewhere. We like to think, I want to be a vine. I want to be a gardener. And Jesus says, stay. Remain in me. If we want to be people who produce healthy and sustainable fruit with our lives, we have to remain connected to the source of it all. We must remain connected to the vine and allow the gardener to care for us as he sees fit. Not as we see fit. The branches don't get a say in this. As God sees fit. Only then, Jesus says, will we begin to produce the kind of healthy and sustainable fruit we were designed and created to produce. And let me just, if you aren't aware of like, what is this fruit metaphor? Like I'm a person producing fruits, getting weird in here. I don't understand it. What is this fruit that Jesus is talking about? Well, Paul in the book of Galatians mentions some of the fruit. Many of you know this passage, some of you may not. Here's the kind of fruit that God wants to garden and grow in your life. Galatians 5, starting in verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you for just a moment to imagine your life producing more love, more joy, more peace, more patience, more kindness, more gentleness, more goodness, more faithfulness, and more self-control. I just want you to imagine in your mind's eye what your life might be like, what the lives of the people around you might be like, if that were your story. Because I don't know about you, but that is the kind of life I want to live. I'm done with producing hatred and despair and anxiety and impatience and anger and disloyalty and an uncontrolled lifestyle. It's exhausting. And it is exhausting for the people around me if that's the kind of fruit that I am producing in my life. I want a life, and God wants a life for me and you that produces the kind of fruit that not only pleases him, but also makes an enormous impact on the world around you. I want to be a branch that doesn't wither and die, but thrives and it's lasting, don't you? Three of you, great. I'm really getting through to you today. I mean, this is the kind of life that Jesus is offering to us. I mean, I'm thinking, I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, I want that kind of a life. I want to live in that manner. God, produce that kind of fruit in me. I am done with despair. I am done with hatred. I am done with disloyalty. I am done with meanness. I am done with being an uncontrolled human being. God, give me what you promise. I will be the branch that you desire. Prune me. Put me wherever you want. Allow me to be connected to your source, to remain in you, that you might remain in me and produce the fruit you want in my life. Am I alone in being the only one that wants that this morning? Thank you. I want to be a branch that it doesn't wither and die, but it thrives and is fruitful. And so does Jesus. Jesus wants this for you. That's why he's telling this story to his followers. This is what we want. God and I want this for you. Jesus doesn't want any of us to die on the vine. He wants us to thrive and produce the kind of fruit that he knows will bring glory to God and change the world. Which is why he gives the one instruction: remain. There's an old hymn that talks about the fact that we are prone to wander. Oftentimes, and most of the time, I think Jesus says this word because he knows you are prone to wander. You so badly want to be the vine and the gardener, and you will walk away. And in the process, you will lose your connection to the source of all life and the fruit that I want to produce in you and through you will wither up and die. And so Jesus says, remain. Stay. Good boy, right? Stay. Good girl. Now, I'll be honest. My instinct to this instruction is to say, okay, but okay, fine. I'm here. Now what? Okay, now what do you want? What do I do now? I got to do something, right? To which Jesus doubles down in verse 5. It's like he's like, I'm going to say this once, and you're not going to get it. So I'm going to say it twice, and I'm going to hope you're going to get it, right? And so in John chapter 15, 5, he says again, yes, I'm the vine. You are the branches. You're getting it. Okay, good. So those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. And then he triples down on it. And he says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, if you weren't getting it before, maybe you'll get it now. And Jesus is very blunt here. And he makes it very clear that all of life is only possible because he is the vine and God is the gardener. And it is only those who remain connected to him who will actually produce healthy fruit with their lives. It's the only way. There is, however, I will say, a sort of active component to remaining in Jesus, right? It doesn't mean we just, you know, this is all of life is looking like this. That's not what Jesus is calling us to. You're not just an innocent bystander who just happens to have been grafted into God's vine and you know, suddenly produce fruit. Remaining connected to Jesus does require a certain amount of intentionality on your part. Why? Because you're prone to wander. You do not like to stay any more than my golden retriever likes to stay. He likes to run and go and find tennis balls because he thinks he's in charge, just like we think we're in charge, right? And so initially it means this. Remaining means this initially. It means that you believe and you receive God's grace in your life. You place your faith in him. I am a branch. You are the vine. God is the gardener. I get it now. I see it now. The beginning of remaining in him will require a response from you. It begins with the recognition that I am not the gardener and I am not the vine, but I am a branch. And that producing the kind of fruit that only comes through Jesus occurs when I allow him to create a new life in me by believing he is who he says he is. For some of you, this morning, this is the first step in remaining for you. Some of you have yet to make that decision to say, God, I get it now. You're the gardener. Jesus is the vine. I need him to sustain all of life. And I give myself over to you. I surrender. I am fully dependent on you. I am a branch. Fill me with your spirit, with your love and your joy and your grace. For some of you, that is a first step that needs to be taken this morning to remain in him. But even after we've made that response, remaining connected to the vine will require our attention to be in the right direction. Kristen last week preached an amazing sermon. If you didn't hear it, you need to go online and watch it. Go ahead. Anyway, she hit on this, and I'm going to hit on it again this morning, but it will require us to, in order to remain, it will require our attention be in the right direction. And as the author of Hebrews says, that direction is towards Jesus. The author of Hebrews says, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. If we want to be people who aren't prone to wander but remain, our eyes, our attention needs to be on Jesus. Because those who produce the fruit, kind of fruit Paul talks about in Galatians 5, they're people who constantly have their eyes fixed on Jesus. He is at the center of their entire world and being. And they recognize that he is the source of all of life and is the redeemer of their lives. So they remain, they stay through thick and thin, and they keep their eyes on him perpetually. They don't wander, even when the shiny thing comes by. Even when they see the opportunity over here that looks, oh man, that would be so much fun. Even when they're tempted to think of themselves as the gardener of the vine, they remain, they stay, they fix their eyes on Jesus. They show up on a Sunday morning and they sing to a God who's given them everything that they have, who sustains all of life. They wake up every morning and they fix their eyes on Jesus by looking deeply into his word. They spend time on their knees in prayer going, Jesus, what would you have of me today? Jesus, produce the kind of fruit that only you can produce in my life. And it makes us ask the question, or it should, where are our eyes fixed these days? Where are you looking? What is captivating your attention? Is it Jesus? Are you dependent on Jesus like a branch is dependent on a vine? If not, Jesus gives you one word this morning. Remain. Stay. I won't leave you. Don't leave. Return back to me. Fix your eyes on me. Stay. Stay here with me. You know, it's an act of incredible grace on the part of God that he wants to produce healthy, sustainable fruit in us with nothing in return except that we stick around. It would be completely understandable that God would produce fruit, but with far more of a demand from us. It would make total sense that he would give us some list of rules we have to follow, or to demand that we make some sort of payment in exchange for the fruit he wants to produce in our lives. But instead, he sends the vine, Jesus, to do all of that for us. And then he asks us to do one thing. Remain. Just stay right there. Stay connected to me. There are so many beautiful pictures of God's grace, right? That undeserved kindness that we receive from him. And this is one of them. This is God's grace on display at its finest, right? Just the very fact that he has the grace to tell us, I know you want to be, but you are not the gardener. You are not the vine. You are the branch, and I've got you. So just stay there. Just remain there. We don't deserve to produce healthy and sustainable fruit with our lives. We're sinful and broken, and we've rebelled against God. Our sin has tainted everything. But because God is so gracious and loving, he invites us into a continuous relationship with him to produce the kind of fruit only he can through Jesus Christ. That is grace at its finest. I am very confident that all of us here have characteristics in our lives that we just call it fruit, if you will. And we're just not very happy with it. We wish it weren't true of us. We have certain fruit growing in our lives that is tasteless, even poisonous. I know I do. This morning I got up really early and I was going through my message and I stopped right here. And I just became keenly aware of some of the things in my life, some of the fruit in my life that is tasteless and even poisonous at times. And I wonder, maybe it's your anger. Maybe it's your selfishness. Maybe it's your lack of compassion or your lack of self-control in your own life. Whatever it is, I want you to hear this morning. Because of God's grace, he wants to prune away that bad fruit so that he can make room for the kind of fruit that he loves to produce in a person's life. And all he's asking of you this morning is to stay, to remain, to run. I know it gets hard. I know it can be painful. I know you have these thoughts that get you down these roads and these pathways that, man, you just never thought you'd be before, but just remain. Stay connected to the vine. Fix your eyes on him. Let's pray. God, this morning, I am filled with gratitude and humility. So grateful that you are so gracious and good to us. God, that when we simply look to you and we confess, you know what? I realize I am not the gardener. I am not the vine. I am a branch connected to you, the sustainer and creator of life. When we turn our lives to you, you begin to do a good work in us that produces the kind of fruit that only you can produce in our lives. And while I may not be a great gardener, I do know that you are. And so this morning, I am grateful for your grace to me and to everyone in this room. That though I am broken and sinful, you continue to call me to remain connected to you, and you continue to change and prune and shape my life and the lives of every person in this room in the way that you see fit. Lord, that is a humbling place to be. It brings a smile to my face to think that I am in great hands, that we are in great hands. That though we may be a branch that is dependent fully on the vine and the gardener, we have a good, good gardener, the very best. And so this morning, we place our faith in that. We place our faith in who you are and what you have done in this world and in our lives. And we ask God, as Jesus says, if we ask, it'll be granted to us. We ask God this morning that you would continue to do the work of producing good, tasteful, delicious, sweet fruit in and through our lives. You're so good, God. We give you praise for that, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.